I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/filmsack and enter the promo code FILMSACK.
Okay, we've had some problems at the facility. What we're attempting to achieve here has never been done. We're this close to the reactivation of a human brain cell.
Doctor, the $200 million I've sunk in this company is due in great part to your research. But when the market opens Monday, despite my reputation, I don't like heights, especially falling from them. I'm sorry, honestly.
Are you ready? I've been ready. Okay.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 348, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian, trying to be all Jurassic Park up in here, Dunaway.
Oh, hi. An actors-looking white guy named Jim in a minority-majority horror thriller film. What could possibly go wrong? Ah, my arm! Uh-oh. Speaking of white guys, have you seen my Uncle Bob? He got me this job. He is this fancy-looking white fellow who keeps Benjamin's seat warm back in the city. You met Benjamin, right? He's our investor who can't shut up about avalanches. Anyway, my Uncle Bob just sits there keeping Benjamin's seat ass warm, looking around whatever conversation is going on. But he's really just there because Benjamin can't get his own ass warm anymore. Not since the avalanche. Oh, God, don't get him started. Well, thanks for listening. Now, excuse me. I have to go be a shark-propelled projectile strapped to a gurney. Things don't end well for me. Could be worse, I suppose.
I love that he got used as a little missile into that glass. It was awesome. All of these Marvel connections. Also with us, Randy, whale brain fluid is gross. Mm-hmm. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
It's a shark. I said whale. I meant shark. Go ahead.
All right, I got your final receipt here for the construction of this weird ocean dungeon facility. I just need your signature. Can I offer you boys some advice? Look, there ain't no reason for this facility to be so far out in the ocean. It's dangerous. I don't know what you're doing here that you think you want to go unseen, but in case you ain't noticed, you're in Mexico. Y'all can do whatever the hell you want down here. I've seen some of these Mexican facilities where they're doing unspeakable things with giraffes or hobbits or something. And I don't know what. They're right down the street from nice hotels. You don't need all this. By the way, do y'all need a cook? I know a cook looking for work whose hat is like a shark's fin. Damnedest thing.
Mama said
his hat is
out.
Like a shark fin.
It really was, yeah. And by the way, I don't know what. I have no idea what accent that was. I'm trying to still work it out. It was a little mysterious. And finally, with us, Brian, he always makes sure to read the Playboy that floats by before he dies by shark.
Abbott.
Sorry.
Praise Jesus. All right, I want to sing a little ditty for you here. Let me my guitar here and tuned up. All right, here we go. You say you like movies with smart sharks, or as I like to call them, smarks. And you said you can't think of one. And I said, what about Deep Blue something? You said, I think I remember the film. And as I recall, I think we both kind of hated it. And I said, yeah, but remember when Sam Jackson died?
Oh, that was great. Holy crap. Now I understand why your audio is jacked. Right. Now I get it.
I get a lot better right now.
Yeah.
I just right out of the gate, like when we found out we could do this movie, everyone, like you hear, oh, Film Sack's going to watch Deep Blue Sea. That's streaming on Netflix. Everyone has the same memory of having seen the film.
Yes.
No, it's an incredible amazing. Moment.
It's like when you bring up Reservoir Dogs. What's the one scene you always think of?
You think of ear getting cut off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, every time. A lot of movies have these moments, right? Like a defining moment, but this almost it's bigger than the movie it's in. Like it's such a well-known moment. Last night Nick and I were around the dinner table and I said, oh, I gotta watch Film Sack tonight, and he goes, oh, what are you seeing? Deep Blue Sea. Never heard of it. And I said I said, sharks underwater, stuff like that. And he goes, wait, is this the one where Samuel L. Jackson gets eaten in a shocking way? I said, yeah. And he goes, oh yeah, I've seen that on YouTube. Like everybody knows about that scene, even if you've not seen the movie.
Yeah, so I hope for the people who have been putting off seeing...
I didn't mean to do that, sorry. Wasn't trying to play you out.
I hope for the people who have been putting off seeing the movie that they haven't gotten this far into the episode of Film Sack.
No.
Because I'm sorry, the best thing in the film is ruined.
It is the best thing in the film, and it is so out of... Like, you absolutely don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, because this movie is all about leading you by the nose through tropes that you think you know... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then they flip him on you, and he's right in the middle. Right. So he was right in the middle of doing his bring together speech that we hear in every one of these movies. Yeah. And
if we all don't stand together, we're going to fall apart.
Yep.
Jump.
Yep. No, it's an incredible moment. It really is. And it kind of holds up as a shocker. I've never seen the movie in its entirety, but I have seen that scene before. So I was one of those people that had seen it before he'd seen the movie. This was my first viewing of the full film. But there are a few other examples of this in there. Like, the girl, I was 100% sure it'd be the trope of her and, Tom Jane surviving.
Right. Saffron, you thought they were going to have that. Survive True. Love interest, but it ended up being LL Cool J.
Yeah,
and Carter instead.
Because ladies love Cool J.
That's right.
Punisher and LL Cool J end up together at the end. That's great.
Yeah,
true love story. Yeah. So, but they you're right, because Stellan Skarsgård has a shocking attack earlier in the film, and I think that actually puts you off your guard. You let your guard down, right?
Because
you're not expecting this anymore.
Yeah,
like you know.
Well, the minute he started walking around that side of the shark, though, I went, "Uh-oh, Stellan Skarsgård's about to get his something cut off." I didn't know what or how soon, but you could tell they were setting that up. What I didn't see coming is how he would be used as a battering ram to break into the sea.
Right.
Yeah.
What a great build-up.
The shark is just fine. Like. Banging on metal doors with its head,
right?
Yeah. But no, the glass. No, I think I need a weapon.
That to me is the most. To me, I remember the Samuel Jackson thing, but I think I remember that scene just as well because they set it up so well. Samuel Jackson's like going, "What are you people? Tell me what that is." And we all are. We're kind of getting closer to the screen, going, "What is that?
What is that thing?
I can't even imagine what that could possibly be right now. Oh my God!"
Yeah, yeah. No, it was great. That part was great, and we get to see him a third time. There are four, by the way, Marvel people in this thing. You got him. It was Doctor. What's Nick his name Fury. In Avengers? What was his name in the Avengers
Dr.
movie?
Selvig.
Selvig. That's it.
Yeah.
And then you got Nick Fury.
Like in four. Like I think in three or four of the Avengers movies, isn't he? He's in Thor. He's in Avengers. He's in.
Yeah.
One of the Iron Man movies, maybe?
I think you're right. He also, I hate to report this because I really hated the movie, but I saw that the Nymphomaniac Part 2 or whatever the hell that was called.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This was on the plane. On the plane from Mexico.
No, no. I'm sorry. No, you did not watch a Lars von Trier movie on a plane.
Here,
no.
Let me tell you what I saw. Hold on. This is a good story. So I'm like, well, let's see what this is. Cranked it up. And it's, for whatever reason, way at the end of the second part. I guess there's two parts. So I haven't seen, I don't even know what part one is. But part two, it's at the end, and it shows him, there's this scene where he's talking to this lady, and they're chatting by in a room or something, and then he leaves. And this actor, Stellan Skarsgård.
Right.
And then he comes back in with his doodle out.
Yep.
His wiener out.
What did you expect?
Yeah, it's a movie called Nymphomaniac.
Well, I figured I didn't know.
Might as well be called Dicks 2.
It looked like an art film, like some kind of arty farty thing. And at the time, I didn't know it was Lars von Trier. I can't stand his movies.
Porno is lady parts. Art film is lady parts and doodle.
Yeah, that's true. So he comes in there with his doodle, and then she kills him or something or shoots him. That's my entire experience.
What you gonna do with that doodle?
That's my whole experience with that movie. I don't know what else happened in it. I just know that he died that way. So I have all these mixed images of that guy.
A shark comes out and goes, "Oh!"
So, all right. So, but I get Sam Jackson. We got Nick Fury. We get Dr. Selvig, Stellan Skarsgård, and we get the Punisher, Tom Jane. Who's the fourth one? Oh, you're talking about Saffron Burroughs as Victoria Hand from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Correct. So there's all your Marvels across the board there. I just think that's interesting. I mean, it's actually kind of possible to almost do this with anyone now because there's so many Marvel things that you could just say,
That's the thing. If you told me Michael Rapaport was in a Marvel movie, I'd be like, all right, sure.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, everybody is.
Ada Turturro is Squirrel Girl. Can't wait to see it.
Oh my gosh, I'd watch the hell out of that. That sounds great.
Soprano woman.
Christos is in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember him. We saw him in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
And something else.
Some other deal.
Anyway.
Is this our first LL Cool J joint? Or did we see Halloween 2.0 or 20-year anniversary?
No, we have not, but I think you might be right.
I think it's our first. I kind of generally want to watch Any Given Sunday with you guys, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, LL Cool J doesn't.
SWAT is almost a requirement.
SWAT's not a bad one. Mm. I think we could watch that.
I forgot about SWAT. Ever.
Oh, Rollerball. Oh, well, it was the 2002 Rollerball.
Yeah, right. We saw the original. We saw the old one. I'm gonna just go on the record and say I like LL Cool J in this movie. Mm-hmm. I think he's a fun piece of this. He's also one of the better performances. I'm not gonna say he's a better actor than some of these people. I'm just saying their performances were kind of garbage shit in a lot of places. The movie got better acting as it went along. Like, it was never great, but it started really, really B-level B-movie.
Stilted, yeah.
And terrible stilted lines. That's a great word for it. And then later in the movie, it kind of evened out, and I was okay with it. But he was pretty consistent. Like, the whole time, as goofy as he was, and as much as he was there for, you know, comedy relief and whatever, he kind of was my favorite role.
Right. Preacher's character was the only likable and relatable character for most of us.
Kind of.
They couldn't even make the parrot likable. Mm-hmm. Come on. It's a bird.
They called him Bird.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's always the easy way, though. If you got a bird, just name him Bird.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out why where he was found. Was he hearing all the bad language because of gangster rap of some sort? Is that what they were trying to imply? Yeah, it wasn't quite clear, but it was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Movie was a little light on language. I actually thought there'd be a lot more F-bombs than there were.
And I thought there'd be a lot more sexuality, too, because usually these are teenage, you know, morality tales where it's like, oh, don't have sex because sharks will eat you, which is how the film opened.
Right.
But there was a lot of sex involved, except for our doctor getting naked halfway through.
Mm-hmm. The Jaws references are all front loaded in this movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So
it
starts with an homage to Jaws in the teenagers having sex thing, and they get attacked by a shark.
Yeah.
And so many tropes with that too, by the way. Like the whole did you hear something?
Yeah. It was my penis.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, and I loved Bad Boyfriend because you have to kind of watch because that whole scene is very quick. But Bad Boyfriend, who's the attractive of the two, he when the shark hits, he headbutts his girlfriend into the water,
like headbutts her with the back of his head.
Yeah.
And then when they're trying to get back on the boat, she gets the boat first, and he's like all climbing on her.
Yeah, no, he's the worst. Yeah. He was that guy that you normally hate in movies, but he was so there so briefly we forgot about him. But yeah, and there was another one where they were trying to flip the script that was like, oh, you thought you were going to eat these people, but no. Here comes Tom Jane with his
Punisher is here to save us.
Yeah.
And then the other quick reference to Jaws on the top was with the license plate in the shark's mouth.
Yeah, and there were a couple of others as well. I'm going to let Fletcher have his say, and then I'm going to tell you the three or four other references to Jaws, which I don't know why you'd do this, except maybe he loved Jaws. This is a
Harley. Have to. It'd be hard to. At that point, it was hard not to compare a shark movie to Jaws.
That's
in
probably true. All right, Scott Fletcher, explain this film in detail, please.
Deep Blue Sea. Doctors in an underwater laboratory discover a chemical in the brains of sharks capable of reviving human brain cells. Using gene therapy, the doctors create sharks with larger brain masses as a way to speed up the production of the life-saving antidote. The result is a breed of Mako that is bigger, stronger, faster, and smarter, and more fierce than anything man has seen before. The sharks gain the ability to reason and turn on their masters, resulting in an all-or-nothing fight to the finish between man and the ultimate predator.
Okay, so
I'm glad I didn't watch that movie because
me too. It's terrifying.
So the other thing is the shark kills are all consistent with other Jaws shark kills. So
yes.
Exploding, electrocution. What were the other ones?
Gas. Oh yes, you said exploding. Yeah.
And even the scene where we have Dr. Projectile flying into the window of that underwater base reminds me of Jaws 3D.
Yeah.
Did they do that in Jaws 3D?
They did.
Jaws actually bust through.
That's right. Yeah, for the 3D effect. Yes.
Yeah, for the 3D effect.
Yeah, I remember that one because Lou Gossett Jr. was in that room when that happened. I remember that for some reason. Anyway, so there's that. I mean, it was obvious it was like, hey, what if we did Jaws, but then took it to a new level? They're super smart.
For sure.
You know, revive the whole killer shark trope deal. But they did it, you know, 1999 when CGI was kind of looking better, but really not.
It's all right.
It's all right.
A lot of great animatronics in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I was happy with them.
Yeah. That stuff looked good.
The animatronics were good. The other CGI special effects, the underwater chomping people in half and their little legs still kicking and stuff like that. Really, really janky for late 90s, early 2000s.
You didn't like the Michael Rappaport leg
kick,
twitch?
Little kick at the end?
No.
You didn't like that?
No.
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 Yeah. Nor the saffron biting in half underwater and then, oh, let me get the bottom half. And, you know.
It was.
By the way, I had no love loss for Saffron's Dr. Susan character at that point because she'd already set up at the very beginning that her dad has Alzheimer's, and every time he would realize his wife was missing, she would tell him that she was dead.
Yeah. Not
I'm
nice.
Like, what a jerk. Just make something. Make up something. Don't forget again.
She's gone away. She's not here right now or whatever. Yeah. She was set up to be a villain. She got her villain's end and all that. Mm-hmm. The trivia does say that she was originally supposed to be the hero that survived all of this, but they felt like she was more of a what she's like. She's like Paul Reiser in Aliens.
Yeah.
Well, a little something like, you know, almost like that, except Paul Reiser dies. He doesn't die saving anybody. And she does, you know, at least try and redeem herself at the end by dying to save everybody else.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So trivia, it was reported pretty clearly that she was originally filmed surviving at the end, and test audiences didn't like it.
They were like,
in case you didn't notice, she's a really bad person.
Oh, right. It's almost like I've heard that before. I can't remember where I've heard that.
Yeah.
She seemed more like Hammond from Jurassic Park. And,
only
you know,
worse.
Yeah, because worse. she can't see what's going on around her because she's looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
And it's like, you need to kill him.
Which is our trope of the film, in my opinion, which is man becomes so tunnel vision about what great thing they're going to do.
Oh,
they have taken it too far and nature has shown them that they can't do it. Brah, like that whole thing.
You can't mess with nature or smarks.
Yep. Or smarks.
Smarks. Nature will find a way, and they did.
There's some other cool stuff in this thing. You mentioned the license plate, which is kind of rad. The same one that was in the Tiger Shark and Jaws. For one scene, Thomas Jane had to swim alongside a real live shark. Now, here's the part I like about this. He was only allowed to shoot that scene, however, once he completed all his other scenes. So what that tells me is they're like, he may get eaten, so don't film it till we're done, just to be safe.
The worst thing we could possibly do is not be able to release this film because we don't have all the Thomas Jane.
But imagine
not the loss of life or anything.
Right. I love
that. That would kick attendance way up though if Thomas Jane had gotten eaten by a shark in real life.
Yeah.
For this film. Oh man.
This is just something it just says something about the film business that I think is funny and also
it's
is kind
of sad.
It's
a bunch of sharks.
I guess so. that orange colored mini sub that was in the wet entry area was the exact same sub seen at the end of Sphere, which also starred Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah.
They reused a ton of stuff. I'm sure you're about to say this was filmed in the same spot as Titanic.
Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
They reused so much stuff, and I don't remember really picking up on it while watching the film. I felt like it was all nice and fresh.
Mm.
I
didn't feel like any of this stuff. It didn't feel like sloppy seconds or anything. It felt like, I mean, it was a decent production, I have to admit. I don't really, Rennie Harlan, the director, I can't stand his movies. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen Cutthroat Island, but it makes me want to die. It's a horrible, horrible movie.
That one I've seen,
Makes you want to die.
Well, not die. I want to live, but it makes me want to maybe have a bad afternoon. That's what I mean.
Because we're supposed to watch all of his movies. We're supposed to watch Die Hard 2. We're supposed to watch Cliffhanger. Like, he's our wheelhouse for this show.
Exactly. His stuff was made for film sacking, and he was Mr. Gina Davis for a while, too.
Yeah.
Around the time of Cutthroat Island, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, she was in it, and they also did that Kiss, was it Long Kiss Goodnight?
Long Kiss Goodnight, with another Sam Jackson.
Yeah, and he directed that, which is why Sam Jackson was involved in this, because he really liked working with him and came back for it. So,
did you guys see Cliffhanger?
Yes. Is this Stallone deal,
Sylvester
right?
Sylvester Stallone on the side of the mountain.
Never saw
it. He's a rock climber.
Never saw
it. And there was so much to do with that as well, because, I mean, he really jumped back into that movie a lot. And there's at least one scene where he's trying to hold on to, Carter's trying to hold on to the lady scientist. Mm-hmm. And they're in that tube. Mm-hmm. And he, give me your hand. And he keeps trying to save her and he just can't quite do it. That's one of his this director's, I guess, string pullers, I guess.
Yeah. That's exactly
what happened at the beginning of Cliffhanger.
She had a really bad case of shark crotch, that lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was rough.
Let me lift you up so you can reach her. Oh, now you don't want her because she's helpless.
It's a smart.
Did you notice that everybody got killed from the bottom up? Nobody got their head bit off. Because we wanted to see what they were, the expression that a person makes.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why I eat animal crackers from the feet first.
Right.
I do the same thing with, I dismember my gummy bears and then I take the head.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. I dismember it so it can't do anything, and then I eat. Like, then I sadistically.
You eat the arms and legs.
I leave him. Yeah, I leave the little cinnamon bear destitute, and then I bite his head off, and then that's the end of it. It's kind of sick and gross that I do that. Anyway, so what was I going to say? They're making a sequel to this in 2018.
Oh, I thought they made a sequel to it, have they not?
Well, it says here Sci-Fi Channel's making it, and it comes out in 2018 is all this says.
The deeper blue RC.
Yeah.
It's the film sack reverse curse, guys.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's happening.
We're back.
Help, it's happening. So that's in 2018. We don't know when, but maybe that'll be okay. Probably not. Probably be bad and should be avoided at all costs. Here's my chick in the bucket. If anyone disagrees with me, and I'm bringing it up now because it was very early in the film, uncredited Ronnie Cox doesn't have any lines at all. He's just sitting there looking at things. He doesn't say a word.
He works for Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, no, I know. But to me, even though it wasn't a character chick in the bucket so much, you don't have Ronnie Cox in your movie, have him don't say a word, and then never show him again. Like, that's freaking weird.
Where was he? Where was he?
Oh, he was the scene warmer. Okay, so you probably didn't even notice because it is literally, you almost don't notice the first time you watch through. But when the doctor scientist goes and meets with Samuel Jackson at his office.
He's the one Bonnie sitting Cox. There. Yeah.
He's the seat worker.
Yes, totally. Yeah, freaking, I forgot about that. Yeah, he doesn't say a word, does he?
Freaking Ronnie Cox. He should be making Detroit safer with RoboCops and stuff.
That scene was to establish a flip in tropes or roles in this movie, because if you notice, this movie is not about rich white guys. There are no rich white guys in this movie other than to sit there and to shut up and do exactly as Samuel Jackson does.
Our hero white guy, we find out, is an ex-con.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which is good, because what they did is they flipped these tropes. So right away, you're not sure what's going to happen. Because, you know, lots of times, especially in the late 90s, you would assume if it's a horror film, just like LL Cool J said, the black guy always gets it first.
Mm-hmm.
Not so in this movie. We don't know who's going to get it first. They mixed it up early on, and I liked it. I applaud the movie for changing all that.
Yeah, I do like them messing with us like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of made it a little bit more fun. It otherwise would have been, I mean, think how boring this movie would be if you didn't do all those things.
Ugh. Right.
It'd just be trope after trope after trope.
Yeah, and not the good kinds.
Trope after, flip the script. Oh, back to tropes. Another trope. And then we change that.
Yeah, exactly. The body count in this movie was 9, 4 by shark attack.
It was mostly the skeleton crew.
Yeah, some of that. I get you. That's pretty good. 4 by explosion, 1 by drowning, and 10 if you include the bird.
I absolutely include the bird.
You gotta include the bird, yeah.
I was so sad when the bird died.
Really?
Anyone else sad?
I don't know. That bird annoyed me. First of all, it wasn't a real bird voice. And if you don't use a real bird voice, I always hate that in a movie. I want
Well,
real
did
bird.
You see who did the bird voice?
No.
Frank Welker.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Do those size parrots? Are those size birds speak? Sure. I mean, I always thought they were the bigger birds. No,
little ones
think
can do it.
The small ones.
They can do little ones, sure. Yeah. It's just that if they're going to use Frank Welker, though, sign me off, because that's dumb. I mean, I like Frank Welker. He's great. But every time there's an animal voice that doesn't sound right, I go, I bet that's Frank Welker. And there was. It confirms Frank Welker being the bird.
And why? I would like to know why. Like, you could have gotten anybody standing around the set. Right. Would you speak into this microphone like a parrot?
Yeah.
More whipped cream. More whipped cream.
Booty.
See, you both did it better than Frank Welker did.
I need love. Not better necessarily, but just indistinguishably good.
Mama said knock you out. Mama said knock you out.
Yeah.
I assume he only says LL Cool J.
Only lyrics from LL Cool J.
Yeah, which we got to talk about that rap at the end sometime.
Noise was horrible.
Yeah,
we'll so do it. Good. Hey, Ibbit, what song was it that LL Cool J hated? Do you remember what it was when he was bartending, when he was Isaacing out there?
Oh,
no. Oh, yes. It was a remake of a Madonna song.
Yeah.
The Isla Bonita song.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Yes. It was like a dancey pop version of that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. That was it. When he was Isaacing.
Isaacing.
I'm the chef, the bartender. If it's food or drink, I'm taking care of it.
Yeah. So there you go. I like the deaths. Let's talk about the deaths for a second. Everyone's going to say, well, what's your favorite? Oh, well, Samuel L. Jackson. It's like, I don't even think we can count that, because it's so amazing and so incredible. It's in a classic tone.
Okay, right. Let's say that that's our free space in the middle of the bingo card, and we can't choose that. What is your next favorite?
Good call on that. Good call. I'm going to say, since we don't count Sam's, I'm going to say it was the Michael Rapaport being smushed into the electrical panels over and over.
Oh, right. Being used as like a washcloth to like rub down the electrical panel.
Yeah, that was rough. And and it was so CG, and his leg twitching was so fake looking, and everything about that was dumb but great. And this movie did know how important it is to make the deaths ridiculous and grisly. Like, that's what you do. It's basically a horror movie, and you need to do that. Like the best Friday the 13th and stuff, that's what they do the best, is it's, ooh, how good were the eliminations? And I think this movie kind of had that down, like, real well. So I'm giving it to that. There are a few other pretty good ones. I mean, the Skarsgård one is hard to deny. There's some magic in that one.
Yeah.
But it's hard. But I something have, about him just, you know, going right into the electricity thing and just rubbing him out there was really rough. Anyway,
I really wanted the Punisher. I wanted Carter to die, because that would have been the most awesome death scene, even though it didn't happen. I was robbed that great explosion that was going to happen. By the way, that was a little bit too much. I think a little overkill on the explosions there, the little there with the
oh,
end.
What now? What, remind me how I'm trying to remember what was connected to the shark that blew him up.
Oh, he was pinned. LL Cool J shot Preacher shot Punisher on the to the dorsal fin of the shark
with the harpoon.
And it had like flares.
It made dynamite from the flares.
Oh, yeah, that was too big of an explosion.
And then it had the whole thing attached to a car battery. Well, not attached. You had to touch the car battery to get the whole thing to blow up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I wish I could have seen him blow up that way. That would have been much better to me. I would have been okay with Preacher by himself going, well, damn.
So anyway, my favorite death was not like named really well named characters, which was the helicopter people, because a shark took down a helicopter, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A shark took down a helicopter.
That's a really good point. Coming.
Right.
I feel like I'm saying this many times. If you've not yet watched the movie, I'm sorry, but I'm really not. You should have watched this movie.
And that was a four. Like he got four for like he got the two people the helicopter. Yeah. He got Janice Soprano in the tower, and then he got winch operator.
Oh shit! That's who she is. She's Tony Soprano's sister. Oh
yep. Yeah.
It was driving me crazy that entire time. Like, who is this woman? Who is this woman? And then she was killed. So really, I forgot about it. But that's why I couldn't place her. I mean, I meant to look it up, but I never did. All right. I feel fine now. I feel better.
So glad.
Oh, it was driving me crazy. I'm like, what sitcom, what TV show, what drama, what do I know her from? And she's Tony.
Actually, I think Samuel L. Jackson's death ends up being the least satisfying in the movie because it's so shocking.
Very
fast.
Very quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. That thing's awesome. Like, it's just it's a moment. Mm-hmm. When I think of Samuel L. Jackson, there's three things. His weird goofy face in Black Snake Moan or whatever it's called.
The long sideburns thing.
That is such an uncomfortable movie for me.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That one, and then the other thing I picture is him getting blown up or getting eaten by the shark. And then him saying, "Hang on to your butts." Like those are the three things. Maybe when he's Julius, what's his name?
So, Not. I hate this hacker crap with a cigarette with an ass too long.
The thing is, he's prolific. Like he's really not one of these actors where you can nail him down to this one memory. Like when you die, you'll think, "Oh, I remember the one thing that Dorothy from Wizard of Oz." You have this singular memory of this actor doing this role, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the opposite, man. He's in everything. Like, I thought you were going to say Snakes on a Plane. Mm. Because
Mr. Glass. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, right.
Oh, he's
great. So many
great
roles.
So that movie he's in now is not doing well critically. What's it called? Hold on. Hitman's Bodyguard.
Supposed to be critical. That's supposed to be a comedy.
Well, it's still 39% Rotten Tomatoes, not very good. And the audience rating's not great either. But that looked funny. But again, playing a whole different dude, right? Like, you're right. He is prolific. And he does it in a way that he's immediately recognizable, but not typecast ever.
He owns every time he's on screen, he owns it.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
It's great. He's real good. His role, his wicked, twisted role in Django Unchained was...
Oh, yes. That's good.
So
yeah.
good. So, oh, my gosh.
So I keep calling Thomas Jane Punisher. He's kind of the opposite of Samuel L. Jackson. I can't give you another Thomas Jane memory.
I can. If we want to get into this, we can get into this.
You've recently watched The Expanse, but I'm saying that's not going to last for you. No, I promise.
Listen, The Expanse, I love his role as Miller in The Expanse. I love those books and I love that show. So you will not take that away from me. But I also think he's good in The Mist. I think he's good in Hung on HBO.
He's always got that look on his face. You'll never forget that look.
I like him. I think Thomas Jane is great. He's a handsome bastard in this movie.
He has bedroom eyes.
Yeah. He's a bad actor in this movie. He's not his best work by any stretch. But he always reminds me of it's like Mike Rowe's handsome younger brother is what he reminds me.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say this movie both had some of the worst, cheesiest pun dialogue I've heard in a long time. But then every once in a while, they would come out with something really just flat out nice. Like, there's a scene where she goes, she says, oh, look at it. Beneath this glass surface, a world of gliding monsters. I mean, it was such crap most of the time. Every once in a while, it would just rise above.
That was actually a little bit. Yeah. And that was actually the moment where I was like, wait a minute, why is this thing so far out to sea? And I started thinking about, like, you're in Mexico. Why are we way out to sea? Like, this makes no sense. They're keeping the sharks in really small spaces that they could have built inland. You know what I mean? Like, not necessarily on land, but touching land, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. He was in a movie, by the way, Thomas Jane, in 2014 called Butt Whistle.
Butt Whistle.
Please tell me he played the title role.
he was a character named Grummish, something like that. It's spelled funny. Yeah. Butt Whistle is the movie.
Sure it's not Butte Whistle?
I'm not. But, well, let's see. No, there's no E. B U T T Whistle. Okay. It's got Trevor Morgan, Elizabeth Rice, Al Janon Tiplin, whoever the hell that is, and then he's in it. He had a real rough. He's got a patch of time there where not a lot of great things went on for him.
I'll be in your film. Yeah. Butt Whistle. I'll be in that.
From The Mist forward, if you don't count Hung, there's not a lot.
Being Hung and Butt Whistle.
But then The Expanse did real well. He's in two big anticipated movies: 1922, which comes out this year, and The Predator remake, which comes out next year.
And so, he was also, you know, in addition to Butt Whistle, you have what could be possibly the sequel, The World's Biggest A-Hole.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah, direct follow-up. Possibly. It's in the same universe, at least.
That's right, exactly. The Buttiverse, yeah.
I like him. You can't. I know that he's not. We're not looking at the greatest thing ever here, but I'd like that guy.
He fit in well here. I mean, we needed a shark wrangler. We got a butt whistler. I mean,
we got a butt whistler.
I didn't realize he was in Magnolia.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, right around the same time, right? 99.
Wow. Yeah, same year as Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, I was in Face Off, had a small role in that. I remember.
Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
He was the butt. He was the other butt.
Yeah, he does some good butts. If you haven't seen him as Detective Miller on The Expanse, you're missing out. He's really good on that. And he's super skinny. Lost a ton of weight for that role.
Yeah, he's skinny and he's understated, which is, you know, like, he's actually, if you think about it, he's understated in everything, including Punisher, mm-hmm. which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Mist also, very understated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a while in 92, he went by the name Tom Janes, which is funny because it seems like that's what people would accidentally call him. Like, the Punisher dude, Tom Janes. Mm-hmm. Like, weird. Put S's at the end of it.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe he was like, screw it. I'm sick of everyone calling
me. I'm just going to switch it up this time. I'm going to. Gonna be somebody else.
That's a pretty good Jane voice you got.
He was married to Patricia Arquette too.
Wait, she's which one? What's
Arquette? Medium. She's the medium.
Ah, the medium. Yeah. Are they still together?
Wait, no, she turned into a large. Oh, I like that movie.
They married in 2006, divorced in 2011, so 5 years, one child together.
No.
Okay.
Next. By the way, I think she's super hot, and I love her.
Oh, do you really?
Okay.
I like her. I don't know if she's super hot, but whatever.
You know who's super hot in this movie? I've already mentioned him. Christos is in this movie. I just have to say again, proving that you can have tattoos all over your face and be a successful something.
Mm-hmm. Now, who is he? Why are we supposed to know him? I've seen him in something else. I feel like we even seen him on this.
Well,
show.
Like I say, we saw him in From Dusk Till Dawn.
That's what it is. Yep.
I don't remember. Did we see Desperado or some? No, we saw El Mariachi. I don't remember.
No, we've not seen either of those. We should, though.
Okay. All right. Sure.
We should see.
A couple of good appearances.
I love, dude.
My name is Earl.
Desperado is a great movie. Desperado is, that's another one you can't take from me. I love that movie. Desperado's great.
Yeah. So anyway, he's always in like TV shows that need, you know, an inmate or an ex-con for one episode, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just good. Like when he shows up he's early in the movie, he's the guy that's going to like drive the boat of the people.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I like that they did this. Like, I don't like that they have this like bad Spanish. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to. I don't know what that's supposed to do for you.
That was a little bit off-putting. And I kept going. I kept wondering, am I supposed to be seeing some subtitles right now, or is it supposed to be?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on right now.
Something's fishy there.
Nah, fishy. All the bad shark and water puns in this movie.
That's right. By the way, that guy in a movie called Blind Justice. Oh, no, it was a TV series. Oh, no, wait. Huh? I'm sorry. This is Latin Dragon. He was cast as Homeboy Gangbanger number 2.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's exactly what this guy looks like. Typecasting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In City Guys, he was Menacing Guy. In Melrose Place, he was an extra known as Thug number 2.
I love that he played some side character in Baywatch Nights in one episode, and I just like the idea that Baywatch Nights happens at night, so you can't really see the tattoos on his face.
I can see that.
Here he is on some. He's on a Comic-Con stage. He looks like the nicest feller. He's just like,
hey, Christos.
So nice to know everybody. Thanks for being here.
Face tattoos really kind of pigeonhole you into something that,
They don't always make a good first impression.
No.
A fair one, anyway.
Yeah. There you go. The word is fair is what we were looking for. Ding, ding, ding. Brian wins. The Sigourney Weaver trope. I like this one. It's where you get down to your undies to take out the monsters trying to get you.
Oh, my gosh. That made me so angry. This whole movie, we were being kind of respectful towards women. And it's like, we got this. No big deal. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know what we need to do? Get the hottest actress in here to get naked.
Yep.
Right. She's wearing rubber shoes, rubber-soled shoes. She didn't need to take off the wetsuit to electrocute the shark.
Yeah.
But she needed to, right?
And fry her poor little zip discs.
Yeah. Oh, the zip discs. I saw those and went, this is so 99, I can taste it. In fact, I'd say it's a little late for zip discs in 99.
It kind of was. Yeah.
Maybe she had Alzheimer's and she was still thinking to use those. Maybe that was the real answer.
I need 100 megabytes of storage for my research.
Also, the brain disease of Alzheimer's kind of got short shrift in this movie because the way it came off was, don't get too earnest about solving Alzheimer's because sharks might get us. It just felt a little empty.
Yeah. Well, and there's a trope in there. Scott.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That was my cue.
That's my cue, Mr. Johnson.
All right. There you go.
The whole point is to save the data, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're trying to save the data. And so you're supposed to have a movie that goes through this long process of either saving the data or not. But instead, halfway through the movie, the data gets destroyed. Oh well. What are we doing again?
Yeah.
It
happens every time in these movies. Like I knew from the get go they were gonna find you. It was like, they're gonna have a breakthrough, and they found a way to do it somehow in real time. They can see a brain tissue come back to life, which is the dumbest thing.
Let's just talk for a minute about the Alzheimer's patient brain matter that they keep alive in the lab to experiment on.
Yeah.
Hey, where's the patient? Oh, he's fine.
Yeah. Hey, Grandma, we got an idea for you. What do you need? I'm taking part of your brain. We're going to keep it in a lab and it'll stay alive. That's lovely. Mm-hmm.
Right? We're taking part of your brain, but don't worry. You won't remember it. So
you won't miss it at all, Grandma.
What's this place on my head? Nothing, Grandma. Nothing.
Yeah. What's this hole here? Explain that to me, young man.
I want to go back to the whole. We had to keep telling Grandpa the worst thing.
That was such a
bitch move.
Yeah. I hated her for that. I really did.
Killing me.
She played
the
victim.
She went to the store.
Yeah.
And then she played the victim. Oh, you know how hard it was for me to tell my poor father every time that she was dead? Then stop doing it, fool. Right. Stop doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, we're back to the save the data thing. I'll tell you my favorite save the data, save the cure to whatever.
Star Trek and Nemesis. Oh, no. Sorry.
No. Medicine Man.
No. I was making a data
joke. Did you
guys
ever see that?
It was a bad one.
I got it.
Medicine Man. Yeah, where he says, you ever lose your car keys? Right. You ever have the cure to cancer and you've lost it? I love that movie. It's great.
I love that movie. I wish we could do that on Film Sack. Medicine Man. Great.
Yeah. Great. What's Sean her name? She's good in it. Can't think of her name, though. Oh, Lorraine Bracco, right?
Right,
see
right.
The lady?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he's, listen, I'm on this place because I lost the keys to your car. You lost your car keys. That's great. It's a great movie. Great movie. Right. We should see it. I mean, I don't know if it's a great movie. It's probably not a great movie.
It's not a good movie.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
It's not a good movie. Hey, is this a trope? You have to tell me if it's a trope or not. Mall kiosk maps. Okay. Is that a thing in submarine places?
Sure.
Oh, my God.
You have, okay, you have people who've been working on this thing, and one of them, like, I guess was responsible for building it because he knows all the code to to how it works. And you're like, wait, guys, let's stop and look at a crude drawing on the wall.
Let's look at the mall kiosk map. Look, it says we are here and we want to be here.
Yeah, this would be like if a person who had worked at the mall every day of their lives was talking to a person who built the mall and they decided to go look at the map.
I loved it. It was fun for me. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I did it not once, not twice, three times.
So we need to take a left at the Claire's Boutique, and then we can get off this this station. Oh, right by the Orange Julius, there's an exit. Okay, cool.
Yeah, very nice. By the way, if I'm ever being eaten by a shark, I hope I'm wearing a big fat crucifix, because I want to stab it in the eye.
Right.
So that was the point for me. I have a little bit of eye gouge phobia. I was curious if it, did we get to the gross out part?
No, let's get to out? That did not gross me out because it just seemed fake, but I do have a gross out part if you want to hear it. You want to hear it? You want to know what it is?
Hold on, let me see if we got a guess here.
See if you got a guess, because it's
touching the feeding the bird by hand and then touching the other food you're making for everybody else.
It occurred to me, yes, that is a bad thing to do, yes. But it's not the one that got me the most, because in my mind it was like, well, no one else is eating but him and the freaking bird, so sure. I didn't worry about it.
Well, even just having a bird in a kitchen, I think, feels a little unsanitary.
Yeah,
Birch. How about the ocean spray versus the pee that the doctor pee in the wind is getting?
Is that a... He's standing over there peeing right upwind. What the hell?
Yeah.
Could see the wind blowing the urine.
Yeah. And the way they treated it was like, that guy, he's a hoot. And then they just kept moving. And I know what they were trying to do there. It's like, oh, eccentric doctor guy. They didn't really play that through very well, though. Like, they didn't really flesh that character out, but... you nailed it. It's peeing in the wind. Don't do that. Don't
really?
It's disgusting. It's all over your legs. Now, the second place for me, though, is the dissected head missing shark brain creature thing. Yes. I don't like that. That freaks me out. I don't like exposed organs.
Well, okay. I was wondering about that because it looked like I thought it was a plastic model and she was just practicing on it. But did it have a real shark brain in there that she could practice with? Is that the deal?
The shark brain looked a lot more real than the outside, didn't it?
So it because it was definitely a model.
Oh, it may have looked bad, but I thought it was meant to be an actual shark cut into.
No, the body itself was definitely a model. Cause like when, you know, the cut open part, it was obvious that it wasn't meat. It wasn't, you know,
meat.
Yeah. But when she inserted the syringe into there, Tina and I are both looking like, okay, so they have a model that they just put shark brains into instead of just keeping the shark.
Yeah, right.
I kill the shark, give me the brain, let me put the brain in here. Okay, now I'm gonna practice on the brain.
But why did I have to be in a full body then, though? Like, why couldn't it have just been a brain in a really bowl?
Because it wouldn't play as well later on when she thought
been
it was
a beaker.
Right, exactly. Yeah, just the shark head.
No, I agree. For the scene later, Dunaway to work where it creeped up on her, it wouldn't have worked otherwise. But that's a dumb design. Actually, a lot of that whole facility was a stupid design. Like, what the hell was that place? Good lord. It didn't need any of
long
it.
Passageways.
It didn't need any of that stuff. All it needed, you don't need. I've seen
it. It was definitely a plot. I mean, because it was all plot driven.
We need 24 big rooms, all separated by really long tunnels and passageways.
Yeah,
because how else do you put humans and sharks in the same environment constantly? That's the only way you can do it, right? So they did. They put them in a big shark habit trail kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I also don't movies. It's a trope also, but this is as far as gross things go. And it happens in every movie does this, but I cannot stand movies where people cut their own hand to attract something. I hate
always
it.
With the most... tetanus
serrated.
Looking
and on your palm you need your palm, you need to use it to do things, grab things, hold things, you know.
She doesn't need hers for much longer.
No, but but you know, like, that's the word if you're gonna cut yourself. My leg or something, anything.
Yeah, in her situation she should have cut the side of her calf. That would have been like the least like painful, necessary thing that you're going to immediately have to call into play.
Yeah, but are you going to have a problem running later if the shark
probably
starts getting
probably,
on land and chasing
like, yeah,
after you?
Yeah.
Sure? Once you get out of the water, you don't have to run very far. I mean,
that's
shark,
true. Yeah.
Just,
like, yeah.
And if you don't
understand why, if you have to cut your hand, cut the back of your hand. Mm-hmm, come right. on.
Or tear a toenail off. Or I know that sounds bad, but you know, ooh, something
yeah.
else.
Oof, Scott.
Something else.
Cut the back of your oh, arm, like where they give geez. You the flu shot, right?
I've torn a toenail off, not on purpose, but it's not a good feeling. It's not
all
a
right,
happy
that,
day.
That's right under eye gouging for me right there. Is the removal of a toenail by force.
Have you ever had one torn off like you've snagged it on something or whatever? Have you ever done that? Because it's
I've
bad.
Had I've had it surgically done.
Pinky toe, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I did it with my big toe when I was a kid, and it was horrible.
Oh.
It was horrible.
Oh, big toe, why have you betrayed me?
Yeah, and there's... And there's
grossed Brian out the most this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't good. It's all back now. I'm looking at it now. It looks fine. Check him out. He's all good. I'll send photos to everybody on the Twitter account. You guys
oh,
can
thanks,
see my
man.
Phone.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Block.
Nice. Yeah. you just killed one of my most least favorite tropes in the movie. So I'll give you another one.
Right.
The thing right out of the gate, we get the first person perspective from the first person of the shark.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's always fish-eyed, too. Like, literally fish-eyed in this game.
Literally fish-eyed, yes.
Yeah. I don't like that either. I don't like that either.
I don't know why that had... I don't know why it just put me in a bad mood. Like, no. Shark-eye...
watch this movie.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying shark-eye vision is just not... I don't know. It's just not good film.
But they do it with every... It's just monster of the week. Like, Alien does it. Every movie with a creature that wants to get you has some weird vision. And I don't like it either. Even The Fly, didn't Jeff Goldblum have like that weird multivision eyeball thing going on? Or am I making that up? I might be making that up. I can't remember. Did we see The Fly? We saw The Fly, didn't we?
Yes, we saw two flies.
I think we had vision from his perspective, and it was bad.
We saw two flies? Oh, no, we saw the old
vision. We saw the original.
We saw the original, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But we never saw the sequel. We should.
Should we?
I thought we watched Fly 2. Did we watch Fly 1?
No, we watched Fly 1.
Oh, we did with Eric Stoltz. Yes, we did watch Fly 2.
We did?
The original, the remake, and the sequel.
Oh.
Interesting.
Did we see
the remake? I didn't think we saw the remake, did we?
I thought we did. It was the remake with Eric Stoltz. Or no, I'm sorry, we saw the remake, because we watched, I want to say we watched those back-to-back on...
did we really?
Really?
Back-to-back flies!
Hold on. Film sack.
It wasn't back-to-back. We definitely... Oh, who cares?
I can tell you. I can tell you right now. Hold on. I'm going to find it because it's going to drive me crazy.
Then Randy just finally gave up and said, who cares?
All right, here's what we've got. We did Film Sack 28 was the one about The Fly, which was, okay, so that was Jeff Goldblum, original Fly. Fly 1, Jeff Goldblum. Then we did Film Sack 15, or long before that. Film Sack 15 was the one about the original Fly with, help me, that one.
Mm-hmm.
And Fly then one. That's it. That's all.
Oh, we never saw The Fly 2 with Eric Stoltz.
Nope.
Interesting.
It's your kids, Brundle Fly.
What's great about you saying that is he was the original Marty McFly, and his name is McFly.
Yeah, right, yes.
So everything about that was great that you just did, and we can end the show now. We can just stop now and call it a show, because that was incredible. All the references in one line. All right. Anyone got anything else? We weren't supposed to laugh when he got shot in the leg, were we? When Thomas Jane got hit in the leg, but I laughed.
I laughed because I was like, "Yeah,
yeah." I laughed real hard. How did he get out of that again? How did he?
They pulled it when he was getting pulled through the grate. Somehow or another, his leg got loose, which made absolutely zero sense to me because that's not how that works at all.
No, but also, how did the dynamite stay if that was?
I gave up.
Yeah. That was pretty dumb at that point. Okay. Sorry, Randy, you were about to.
Well, we're still on tropes.
Oh,
we're
you got another tropes. One, dude. Hold on. Trope train coming through.
So we named the movie Deep Blue Sea, which calls to mind the non place to be between the devil and the deep blue sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a character actually say Deep Blue Sea. All we're missing now is for LL Cool J to sing a song that includes the title of the movie, and he can't. He lets us down. Mm. He has the worst song at the end.
Here, I'll give it. Here's a taste of it. Hold on. Let me play it. Let me play it.
Up Deep Blue Sea.
Let me play it. So
he said Deep Blue Sea in his lyrics.
Did
he did it once? Yeah, he did it at one point.
Well, hold on. I'm gonna
deepest, bluest, My gotcha. Something is like a shark's fin. It sounds like hat or hand or head.
It sounds like
we
hat.
Don't know.
It sounds like hat. I'm going to play a little bit of it. You guys tell me what you think. So deepest blue, my hat is like a shark's fin.
My hat is like a shark's fin.
My hat.
Why wouldn't it be? I don't understand. Like, I guess your hat. I don't know.
Wait, no, he used to wear those. Used
no,
to wear
he's
those.
Not saying hat. Yeah, he's saying hand.
I'm pretty sure he's saying hat because he wears that. He wears that. Yeah, it
hold
is.
On,
I'm telling
hold
you.
Hold on.
Look it up.
So, Brian, if you're going to look it up and you're going to find out that it's hat on the internet, you're going to find out that people have written hat into all the lyrics.
Yeah, no.
Right?
We can find the real ones, though. Like rap lyrics, LL Cool J.
Here we go. My hat is like a shark's fin.
My head is like a shark's fin.
So my head is like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there
you
it
know,
is.
I'll take that back. They say okay, my hat. So Genius Lyrics says my hat is like a man-made tear. Hungry jaws of death. Y'all don't cross my depths. I'll pause your breaths. I'll cause you to sink down 40,000 leagues, bleeding to death with no arms and short sleeves.
if you watch the video, you'll see his hat. What he's talking about.
Okay. Again, he never says deep blue sea, but he does say deepest bluest.
Yeah,
which is just what LL Cool J is fine. I just feel like he's made some mistakes.
He's fine.
He's got some things to answer for in his career, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, he's from that era of the big stupid Gilligan hat rap period. Right?
I'm bad. Kangol hats? What are you talking? Yeah. Don't be talking bad about.
Listen, I know that they're cool. They're cool in an ironic, dumb way, but come on, that was a bad era for rap. It wasn't good.
I grew up with LL Cool J, and it is all. Oh man, I'm bad and all that. Oh man, come on.
What was that song he did on that same album where it was like a ballad and nobody had really done rap ballads before?
I need love.
Oh my gosh, that's so shitty.
That was the beat side. That was awesome. What are you talking about?
Yeah. He's a better actor than he was a rapper. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, totally.
No.
He was not.
I wouldn't want a girl by my side. Can I go for a ride?
I need love.
Oh
shit! It's so bad. You're making it hurt. It actually hurts to say it. It's really bad. It's not good.
I need to make it up lyrics, but yeah.
I mean, there are other rappers. Yeah, there are other rappers like
everything says. Hat is like a shark fin.
Yeah, I can't find hat.
Watch the video.
Which makes no sense because
a hat that looks like a shark fin.
Again, I feel like I was younger. I'm not going to say I was a kid when I saw this movie. I remember the movie theater I went to see it in 1999. And I just remember hearing the song and thinking, my hand is like a shark's fin because, like, I'm going to karate chop you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this powerful, sharp thing. Yeah. It makes sense to me if I'm going to karate chop you that my hand is like
that's
a shark's fin.
That's something a white guy would think. But
I use this. Yes, yes, very much.
I'm watching the video. He's just got one of those black like do-rag things on his head. Like
a hat. It's like a
and black in color, people, and
he
keeps, relax.
And, every time he says it, he rubs it, the top of his head.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, so, but it's not. I was really hoping it would be like a beanie with a shark fin on the top.
Well, he doesn't want to be
tell
too
us about. Tell us about music videos, Grandpa.
They still do music videos. It's just on Vivo on YouTube now. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, no, videos are a freaking huge deal on Vivo.
And this is like 3/4 of the video, even more than that, is footage from the movie. He doesn't use a lot of... Oh, and he's got those things in his eyes, those contact lenses that make him all black like that dude from Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thanks for that memory. I freaking hate Limp Bizkit.
Oh, how do you hate Limp Bizkit? Just dropping starfish. Just talking about a butthole. Come on, you know that.
Team
Come
Gibbet.
On.
Team Gibbet.
There is nothing. Okay, whatever. I like that Limp Bizkit existed, but I don't. You know, my shorts will never be that low ever.
Yeah.
All right. That was all great. Let's do
like a shark fin.
Let's do some clips.
My pants are like a shark fin.
See, it's gotta be hand.
My big toes like
hand.
A shark fin.
My socks are like shark fin.
Why would you?
Pretty much any
why would you?
Is a shark fin.
Who sings about their hat anyway?
Nobody.
Why would anyone sing about their hat?
He sings a lot about his hats. If you go back and listen to his collection of music, you'll understand he's obsessed with hats.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he
this
loves hats.
This is how I know.
Yeah, no, I'm with Dunaway on that. He was way into those hats. The hat thing
was like a shark fin.
Yeah. If he could If
my toque is like a shark fin.
My hood is like a shark's fin.
If he
like,
could, what? Listen,
my
if he
is like a shark.
If that guy could, he would have pulled the hat all the way down and put eye holes in it like that character on Fat Albert. That's how much he liked those dumb hats. He was into that. And I'll tell you, like, that era was the Run DMC era and everybody else.
You reckon Fat Albert was like Ruthie and Girls in that show? Do you think that was?
No, but I think that Bill Cosby, who created it, was Ruthie and Girls while he made Fat Albert. That's what I think was going on. I think he was making Fat Albert, and he was going, hur, 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 and then he would go out that weekend, and he would roofie a girl.
Hey, drink this. Yeah.
Can we think of someone?
Sorry.
Where it would be more of a shock to find out that they're a sexual predator? Like, I've been thinking about this. Like, this guy made family television. He was the head of the family of family television.
Right.
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 Between Fat Albert and the Cosby Show. Right. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. his whole reason to be somebody
super family, super, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. We all
like that guy on Seventh Heaven. Oh.
Yes. Oh my gosh. But didn't we always wait around for Mr. Rogers to find out he was
the other shoe to drop?
Yeah, we all waited. It was like, oh, nobody can wear that little sweater and be that nice and visit the meow 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 town and meow meow meow. No, he's doing some drugs.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a skeleton in his closet right next to his cardigan.
But Mr. Rogers made it out safe.
He did. Yeah, totally. It's so great.
Yeah. No, dude, I love him. He's the best. Yeah. He was the real deal. There are a few people who are the real deal, and they live and they die and they go out the way they came in, and they were always great. But then once in a while, most of the time, there's something shitty going on.
You live long enough.
Like all this recent Joss Whedon stuff is just under my skin. Louis C.K. stuff is under my skin. Like, right. I'm tired of all these geniuses.
At least they were making entertainment for adults. They were known for R-rated stuff. Like, Cosby was the guy who went after other entertainers when they used what he deemed foul language. Like, he was
he was doing it right up to the moment before all of this, like the Burris thing happened and all that. Like, he was on Jon Stewart right around the time right before Jon Stewart retired from The Daily Show. He was on Jon Stewart chewing Jon Stewart out for swearing. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, even then I was thinking, come on, just not, you know, this isn't your comedy. So what, who cares? You can go. So, we got Noah. What? 20 cubits. Okay. Right. But now you're right. Like, it is the most disappointing damn thing in the history of disappointing.
I'm trying to think of a bigger gap between the, you know, the facade and the reality that could
that's
be.
About it. That's just about it, man. You know? I don't think anything that destroyed our childhoods is kids of the 80s more than that happened. Nothing was purer than that show. And it's surprising to me that the show's still in syndication. I mean, I think you can still watch this on the Hallmark Channel, can't you?
Which one?
The Cosby Show.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. It's still around. Somebody somewhere dumped it, but it was in a bunch of places already, so I'm sure you can still get it. But the thing is, it's so sullied now. Like, I had those albums memorized. I remember thinking, man, what a great example in such a white driven comedy world in the 50s and 60s to be, you know, to see what he was able to carve out for himself and then, you know, and then have it all just kind of shit away because you're a freaking rapist turd bag.
How did this turn from the deepest bluest to
saddest?
I don't know. The saddest bluest. Yeah. It's just a bummer because it's good and it's a reality check in a sense to not, you know, to pick your heroes carefully.
Yeah,
because they often let you down,
or just don't ever know your heroes. Because like at least LL Cool J in being a weirdo and singing "I Need Love," because he did some weird things in the 90s, guys. I'm just saying, at least in that he's being honest. He needs love. That's honesty.
Yeah, that's all he wants.
I mean, he just wants her bikini to be small, heels tall, you know, and he just wants to. Get back to Cali. I mean,
man, you really are.
And his mother would prefer that, you know, that he knock you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, I mean,
Mama said knock you up is what he said. Knock you up.
Right. Oh, well, speaking of old stuff that
Mama said,
that
wear
I can't,
a hat.
Speaking of old stuff that I can't reconcile in my head, There was a moment when he was taking those flares and he was turning them into dynamite. And I was thinking, I wrote my notes. That's A-Team. And I'm like, will the kids know what I'm talking about when I say A-Team? Is there a more recent reference that defines the A-Team?
Before we answer that question, yes. did we all think A-Team or did we all think MacGyver? Because I'm on the fence here.
I was too, because it was almost A-Team-ish. It wasn't resourceful enough to be MacGyver, because right. MacGyver would have made it with right.
Two items is A-Team, three or more items is MacGyver.
Right, right. Mm. So
if you only use two objects to combine something to
is that save the rule?
The day, then it's just
if you had busted out some welding torches, it definitely would have been A-Team.
Hold it together with a paper clip and that gum wrapper over there. Yeah. Right.
So that kind of happens. Like there's several different sequences like that in this movie. I realize you're focusing on the very end,
right?
But I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of MacGyvering in this movie. But even that term, like, maybe that term doesn't mean anything anymore. Nobody's gonna get it.
Who's doing it now? Who is it? Is it Mythbustering?
There's a MacGyver show. Is it still on?
Yeah, but no one watches that.
No,
Brian.
I don't know.
That means things that impact.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree that there was some MacGyvering going on. Actually, the whole damn thing felt MacGyvery, but. The minute the shit hit the fan, like the minute Skarsgård loses an arm, it's all MacGyver from then on. Yeah, as soon as the arm hits the fan, exactly. You know, like it does in movies. All right, busting in here real quick to talk about our friends at Casper. Oh, Casper, the online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. I sleep on a Casper mattress. I sleep well on a Casper mattress. Casper's revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you, the consumer. Breathable design helps you sleep cool, regulate your temperature throughout the night. They're obsessively engineered mattresses at a very fair price. They're made of supportive memory foam for a sleep surface that's just the right sink and just the right bounce. Oh, I'm thinking about it now. I just want to go take a nap in mine. Casper's mattresses are made here in the USA, and buying one is easy. Order online, delivered straight to your door in a compact box, free shipping, and free returns. It's also available in the US, Canada, and now the UK. Risk-free is an important word. Risk-free 100-day trial. I did that. You try it for 100 days, and if you don't like it, you send it back, and there's no questions asked. I kept mine because it's awesome. You can save an additional $50 toward a mattress purchase by going to casper.com/filmsack and enter the promo code filmsack. Do that today. It's a really, really good deal. That's casper.com/filmsack and the promo code filmsack. Terms and conditions may apply. I loves me some Casper. All right, let's do some clips here. I've got a number of them. There's not a ton because, honestly, the movie's not full of great dialogue or anything. But here's the plane boss. There's something with the plane.
Like a plane boss.
I don't remember what it says. Here it is.
The plane boss, the plane.
Oh, no, it's freaking... I forgot. Samuel L. Jackson does a terrible Hervé Villechaize impression.
Terrible or good enough?
Come on now.
Plane boss, the plane.
Oh, it's bad.
But why? Was he ad-libbing and they just kept it? Why?
It says in the trivia that he did ad-lib that, so it's funny you'd say that.
They did walk away that he was too old. And that's what kind of made me think later on about the MacGyver thing. Because I was like, haha, MacGyver. And I'm like, wait a minute. We just approached this earlier.
Yeah.
Is anyone going to get that?
No. No one's going to get it. Here's the here's some acting. It's pretty bad. It's early on. Ugh, this is really bad.
It's pretty scary stuff, huh?
Yes. It is.
Ugh. Ugh. And then wait. And then you say, yes.
It is.
It is.
Yes. It is.
Here's some more really bad acting.
I'm sorry, I'm making Aquatica sound like some kind of mental hospital.
No, not really. Well, maybe a little.
The truth is, it is.
Ugh, shit!
But, you know, I was being annoyed by that dialogue, but I was also thinking, I've heard this so often in old horror movies, it's kind of effective. It kind of makes you feel like it is a true casual conversation. That is nothing to think about here. We're just feeling around in mood.
I guess.
I don't know.
It's not, it's been handled better than that. And by the way, the second, absolutely. And I mean the millisecond I saw that blonde lady, I went, you're going to die in this movie.
Yeah, you're
yeah, yeah, she exactly. was marked for death.
Yep. You're shortly.
Yeah, it was. She may as well have had like a big, some kind of reticule over her head that said, die soon.
Yeah, the only other person I saw in the movie where I felt like was marked for death from the very beginning as I saw him was Michael Rapaport. And it was specifically because he was too knowledgeable. As soon as he starts talking, you're like, oh, they got to kill that character off. He knows too much.
Mm-hmm.
Caltech.
Yep. Here's the bird and the rapper is how I wrote this.
You got a big fat butt.
You know what, Bert? You were trying my last nerve. Don't make me drown your feathery ass.
All right. It just didn't sound like a bird.
No, especially when you... When you hear it without even seeing the visual of the parrot, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad.
It sounds like a little kid. Like, no, it sounds like the woman who tries to get Carol Ann to walk towards the light in Poltergeist.
You got a big fat butt.
It totally it does. Sound
like her. Zelda yeah. Rubinstein or whatever her
you
name
got
is.
A fat butt.
God, I loved her.
Carol Ann.
Wasn't she in Teen Witch?
Teen Witch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she was great in Teen Witch. She's mm-hmm. dead now, yeah? I don't remember.
She is, yeah. Okay.
She was dead then, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, I don't know if I've laughed. I've had some laughing fits on Film Sack before, but I'm not sure I've laughed as hard as I have at Dunaway's freaking fat Albert saying, take this roofie. Right. Gosh, dang it, that was funny. Anyway, here's a bad joke from Rapaport. Is it Rapaport or Rapaport, right?
Rapaport.
Yeah, who I like quite a bit. His Justified season was amazing. I love that guy.
Parappa the Rapaport.
I think he's super interesting. Anyway, here's that.
Yeah. Did someone order the fish?
Get it?
He's on that sports talk show. He fills in every once in a while for the main guy on ESPN. And he's also... regularly like friends call in doing stuff with the Howard Stern show, and so we hear him every once in a while. Dude seems like he's got some anger issues.
Oh yeah,
a lot of the stuff that they play from him is very angry. Yeah. Michael Rapaport,
he is hyped up for sure, especially sports stuff. He gets way into it. Sometimes he's a guest on that podcast that Bill Burr does, and he's just
is
like
that the role he plays though, because he's played that role a lot. In like My Name Is Earl, and even on Friends, he played it a little bit with as a Phoebe's boyfriend. And
I don't know, is he
leaning into that role, or is he that really?
He might be leaning into that role. I think it might actually be him because some of the things they play, like voice messages that he leaves for Gary, just don't come across as something he's doing as kind of a joke. It's like okay, he's really really angry about stuff.
Yeah. And he seems like he could be a really angry person, doesn't he?
Yeah, take it easy, Michael Rapaport.
Yeah.
I can't think of an example of someone who their shtick is anger, but they're really actually quite calm.
Oh, are you kidding me? Black. Lewis Black. Also,
you know, behind closed doors, Lewis Black is just...
Ben Stiller makes me think that he is just... He does the best angry. Nobody does angry Ben Stiller for me.
Mm. Wonder, though, is there... So, if you took them out of that scenario...
Just regular walking around the grocery stores out of... Yeah. Crest toothpaste.
Yeah, like
I think he has moments where he flips his lid, and that's what he usually plays. A calm guy for the most part, but every once in a while just flips his lid. His dad does the same kind of shtick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he seems like he really could be like that in real life. So I think there's a little bit of honesty.
It's possible, but then you see guys like, you know, I never trust the ones that are too calm. Like when I see Johnny Depp, he's always calm, right? But he's it turns out a total a-hole and a wife beater. And he moved
to Myrtle Beach.
Oh, he did he?
Which is like you just ride up the road from me.
What can you go to get a sighting and say, hey, I loved you in the deal you're in, and he'll go
the deal you're in. He's like, bugger off, and I'm like,
your contraband dogs are welcome here.
Yep. Would he? Nice reference. That was pretty good.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was good. Tell him no more pirate movies. They're all shit.
Oh, come on.
Except the first one. First one's good. The rest of them are terrible, dude. They're quantifiably bad at those
like
movies.
The most recent one?
No, they're all bad.
I didn't see the most recent one.
Well, I didn't either, if I'm honest. But I've seen all the rest. I saw all the rest, and they were all bad. First one, fun, exciting,
they were all
new.
The same.
No, they were all boring and too long. The other ones.
Just like the first one.
First one's good though. First one's fun. First one has a plot. It's actually paced well. The rest of them are garbage poo.
Garbage poo.
Well, and also the first one.
Where'd you get
the
this
first
poo
one
from?
The garbage.
Somebody threw it out. perfectly
the first
good poop.
Pirates. That first Pirates movie depends on you having not seen Pirates movies.
Yeah,
and right. Johnny Depp's performance is a wonder because you've never seen anything quite like it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so once that bubble is burst, they all suck.
Yep. Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. I really like Jeffrey Rush, though.
I think At World's End was okay.
Was that the one where he wakes up dead out in like the salty sea?
And multi Johnnies, yeah.
That made me want to fart blood hard. That's a bad movie, dude. And it's like
throw it in the garbage.
It's 3.5 hours long. It's a bad movie. It's not good. Here's Odd Sharks, whatever that is.
Is that a goddamn shark broke through that door?
I expect so.
You expect so? Huh. Well, well, well. Am I the only asshole down here who thinks that a tad bit odd?
It's a little rough for a CEO of a giant tad pharmaceutical company. Yeah.
I'm down with it though.
We're hearing him from Pulp Fiction there, and I think it I don't know, he's not directed right in my opinion.
This is only only 4 or 5 years after Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I seriously, like, if you play that clip again and imagine him saying, you know, oh, would you call him a bitch? Or you know, something like that.
What do they call sharks in France?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A delight fish. Shark.
Like it's over. Kinda, get it?
I don't know. I actually felt like except for his speech. His speech was great, but I felt like the rest of it, he was not the right person for the role.
My favorite thing it felt a little forced. My favorite thing about, he was originally, by the way, up for the role of the chef, of the cook. He was going to be LL Cool J. Yeah, yeah, and he said he didn't want to do it, so they moved him around.
Yeah.
Here's, what's this? I don't know what this is.
You don't see what we've done here.
And what you've done is taken God's oldest killing machine and given it will and desire. What you've done is knocked us all the way to the bottom of the goddamn food chain. It's not a great leap forward in my book.
Yeah, there's your big moment of you shouldn't have messed with nature. Life finds a way. You know, all that. It's crap. All right, Sam Jackson's speech. Imagine him getting eaten right after this, okay? So that's what you got here. Here you go.
Now you've seen how bad things can get and how quick they can get that way. Well, they can get a whole lot worse. So we're not going to fight anymore. We're going to pull together and we're going to find a way to get out of here.
So it may as well be like an Avengers speech.
No, it totally is. I do like that once you've seen the film, you're like you know it's coming and you're waiting with every line. The louder he gets, oh, this is the line. All right, it's this next one. All right, this is when it happens.
Yep, and he slowly starts to circle around the hole and getting closer and closer.
But again, it sounded like you could have slipped in some words there for him to say, like, you know, beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men.
And I will smite my brother.
I love it though. He should always be that.
I will strike down upon the
furious anger. Yeah. Right,
anybody see my wallet? Bam.
Oh my gosh. All right. Next up, here's I wrote, what is he talking about?
Where would a girl keep her thing? Hey, what's the matter with her?
What's her thing?
They're looking for batteries, Scott. They need batteries to power the MacGyver device they're making.
Oh, okay. Right. Now, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Boudoir toys.
I did not understand. It's a rated R movie. It could have just said, hey, where's her dill? You know, whatever. Call it whatever you need. You
have to go. Is that the word you're looking for?
Yeah, but why does he have to say thing? Couldn't he have just said the word? That's annoying.
It's the same reason that during TMS go, vagina,
because he was in mixed company. He had the preacher there, he had the lady. I mean, he was a mixed company. He was a smart guy,
right? He's
I guess so. All right, here's somebody who needs to be unzipped.
Would you zip me up, please?
Oh no, he needs to be zipped up. Sorry, zip me up, please.
Would you zip me up, please?
Nice that moment. Was my favorite love story in this movie. It was between him and LL Cool J. Their love ran deep.
Yeah, it did. It did run deep. Yeah. He needs love.
Yeah,
that's why. Here is they said the name of the movie. Here you go.
About freedom. About the deep blue sea.
Oh,
yeah, like the very end.
Yeah, snuck it in.
I get the reference. I get the actually speaking it out loud. Now I just need it sung. Sing the freaking title.
Yep. Bruckheimer ass music is what I wrote here. so Bruckheimer.
Yep.
100%. Every one of those movies, whether it's the rock or whatever.
No, that's Trevor Rabin. That is Armageddon music. If you've watched Armageddon 55 times like I have, that song is like leftovers from Armageddon.
Yeah.
But it all kinds of falls into the same.
Well, Bruckheimer, Bruckheimer produced Armageddon, didn't he? He was a producer on it, I think. So all his movies had these like, whether they were tapping, you know, Hans Zimmer or whoever, it was always that tenor, that,
right,
those kinds of chords. Like, that's just the way those movies sounded, and I kind of love it.
There was even a few shots that were kind of Bruckheimer film kind of thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, it's of its era, man. That's just that time we were in. And then the LL, take us out. All right, I'm not playing that shit again because that's terrible.
That's enough.
You get the gist.
It's really bad. The Film Sack checklist presents itself with the following list: needlessly complicated, labyrinthian-like shark lab? Check. Enough CGI sharks to make Sharknado happy? Check. And shark crotch? Check. All right.
Dude. I just want to, in case you missed it or you didn't watch the movie, I don't know why you didn't. A woman is literally eaten by the crotch.
Yeah, from the crotch up. Yep.
Yeah, the shark starts with her lady barts and works its way to kill her.
Well, I mean, we don't get to see the end result, but yes. And here's the grody part, in my opinion. Grody, that's right. I said grody.
Yeah, I wrote grody.
In the original script, and you saw some of this earlier when they kissed after the results were good, but her and Skarsgård were supposed to have been married, that's why they kissed like they did. They didn't flesh all this out because the director thought it was too weird later on, and I think he was right to do this, but she was also supposedly pregnant. So how would it have been if you'd like had this shark eat a pregnant lady specifically from birth canal forward? There's something about that is very distasteful.
Yes, Twist. That would have taken the DVD and thrown it out into the snow.
Yeah, right? almost as if you were watching Seven or something like that.
Twist, mm-hmm. Deep Blue Sea 2, we find out the baby was a shark.
Oh, the whole time. Oh, no.
The baby was a shark.
Oh, no.
That's the reason why I couldn't kill her, because she had a shark baby in her belly.
So she's still alive somewhere, is what you're saying.
Right.
He smuggled her back to his little secret lair. And
let her thighs have healed from the giant puncture wounds. And she's now queen. She's queen of the deep and communicates with the sharks directly. I'm very excited about the sequel. It's going to be great.
It is kind of a letdown that LL Cool J survives being eaten by a shark, because it makes you feel like anyone could.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because I thought that was it. And this is my first viewing, so I thought he was out when it started whipping him around by his leg. I thought, you're not going to live. But totally did. And they didn't, you know, the massive blood loss didn't seem to be such a problem while they were joking on the pier there. Well,
because his hat is like a shark's fin, apparently that prevents blood loss or something.
Yeah.
It just makes it easier for him to make sharp turns in the water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or shark turns.
Oh,
what was that sound? That was cool. Star Trek stuff. Here are your connections. This movie had Ronnie Cox in it, briefly.
For one hot minute.
Yeah, he was...
sitting Cox.
What was his name in those two episodes where Picard was off the ship? His name was Captain Kelios. Yelios.
Yeah, and he was just sitting in the captain's seat, right? That's what he does. That's his whole job.
His whole thing. And pissing off Riker.
He pissed off everybody. He made the whole crew of the Enterprise mad.
Yeah. By the end, they liked him okay. Did he make Worf
mad?
No, probably, yeah. But he's Gene Hackman in, speaking of Crimson Tide, he's Gene Hackman in Crimson Tide. Everyone hates him, he's making all the wrong decisions, he's too forceful, blah, blah, blah. They want to basically commit mutiny against him, and in the end, they have respect for him. It's like, it's that same damn story. Yeah. Is what happens to Runny Cox is his name. Runny Cox. executive producer Frank. Oh, no, never. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Frank Welker was the parrot sounding voice. He provided Spock's screams in Star Trek 3 when he was being rebirthed.
Parrot sounding voice. Even they won't own it.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Sounded.
Parrot, somewhat parrot like.
Yep. He was also a cytoplasmic life form in Star Trek Voyager, the episode Nothing Human. And Avika Goldsman was a producer. She was executive producer on Star Trek Discovery, a show that comes out in like a week and a half. which I'm kind of excited about.
Is it that close?
Yeah, pretty stoked. Well, wow. You say that close, but this thing's delayed like a year. So right. It's about damn time. Pretty excited for it.
It's like waiting your whole life and then realizing Star Trek comes on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And well, and The Orville comes out tomorrow, or for people who are listening to this, yesterday.
Yeah, the reviews are not great.
Or those in the
I'm
bummed out.
It'll figure out its legs. I've got hope.
All right.
It's also like Ray Yane on your wedding day.
By the way, I forgot to mention how great Seth MacFarlane's it's basically a cameo, but his role in Logan Lucky is pretty great. If you guys haven't seen that movie, it's a very odd turn for him, and you don't expect it or see it coming. Anyway, also, name the last time a Seth MacFarlane live action thing was any good. Was it the first Ted movie?
Oh, okay.
Ted
so
was pretty darn good, right?
Ted was good. Ted one I don't was know about good. A Million Ways to Die in the West. Or
okay, so A Million Ways to Die in the West has a lot of good laughs. That's going to be my answer. It's a bad, bad movie. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of these like set piece comedy bits that are really
very Blazing Saddles, but not with the understructure.
Yeah, I've heard that. I haven't seen it, but I've heard that too. And I really, really disliked, what was it called? Another one I saw. Ted 2. It was bad. Ted 2. It was a terrible
Ted 2
sequel.
Bad. Ted 1 good.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not saying we should judge it based on that, but these reviews concern me. People seem to be very underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, okay, it makes sense. Look, Galaxy Quest had a really good following. And I mean, they're just kind of beating, aren't they kind of beating the other guys to the punch here? Just going, we're going to lampoon ourselves.
But part of this could be, and what I'm hoping is that the reviewers just have the wrong idea, because it's billed as a comedy, but he has said in interviews, we are trying to make a more Star Trek show than a comedy show. Because he wanted to make the next Star Trek, and no one would give it to him. He could never get the rights, and he loves it. And so his idea was to carry Star Trek on and be a new executive producer of a brand new Star Trek show. Well, can't do that, so what do? You talk the network into giving me a new show. You build it all as mostly comedy, but you sneak in Star Trek there, basically. Mm-hmm. If that's true, maybe the reviewers just aren't getting that.
Getting it? Yeah.
And if they're not, well, then I'm all in. If it's just bad, well, then what are you going to do?
Tomorrow, we'll let us know.
Yeah. We'll let you know tomorrow.
I can't ever not love Seth MacFarlane for moving mountains and spending all of his own money to get Cosmos: A Space-Time Odyssey made.
Yeah, like, that was pretty great.
That just, like, he just, I don't know, it makes up for all of the horrible things he's done.
Yeah, no, I admire that stuff. Plus, he's a really good singer. I love his crooner albums. They're awesome.
Such a crooner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That stuff, you feel like you're getting punked a little bit, but it's dead seriously good.
I know. You keep waiting for the first joke, but it's like, all right, this is dead on, you know.
Yeah.
Was it music is better than...
Words. Music is better than words. And he has this great one of the songs on there. It's a great duet with Alicia Keys.
Oh,
unbelievable. Right. Yeah. It's crazy that he sings like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, talented man. Let's give this soundtrack grade out. It's a B for Bruckheimer. That's what I'm giving it today. I know it's a different dude. Whatever. It's all the same. It's that same. It's cut from the same cloth. That whole era. They all sound the same. I don't care who it is, what they're doing. They all sound the same. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where in 140 characters or less, you guys sum this damn thing up. Let's start with Randy.
Deep Blue Sea. Better than Jaws? Sure, why not? It's better than Jaws. Take that, internet commenters.
Whoa, you're going to get some heat on that one.
I think some people actually agree with you.
Yeah, some.
All right. Those people have not seen Jaws.
Yeah, there's always someone. There's always someone out there who will agree with you. Dunaway, your turn.
Scott, Deep Blue Sea, like watching a movie about sharks while Samuel Jackson is telling you the plot to Avalanche. Better get Mako Shark.
Better get Mako
Shark.
Nice. Uh-huh. Every time they said Mako, I just thought of that actor who a Japanese actor.
Oh, yeah.
Died.
I see that too. Yeah.
I love that guy. Samurai Jack, that guy. Okay, anyway. Brian Ibbett, you're next.
Mm-hmm. Deep Blue Sea. This movie isn't just weak, it's Shark Week. Except for the one that could work the oven. Clever girl.
It's very nice. That was a good one. All right. Well, you've left me with no choice now to other than to find Mike Link here. Hold on. Okay. Then to play this. It's the alternate titles. This was almost called Deep Blue Seep. because the water was seeping all the time, you know?
It was, wow. And they weren't freaking out at all. Yeah. I'm like, freak out.
Or, seriously, Samuel L. Jackson, hold on to your butts. Or a bonus one that we came up with before the show that should have been the only one, and that is Jurassic Sharks. All right, there you go.
Jurassic Shark.
An email from Jeff Litchie came in. We do emails on the show, filmsack@gmail.com, and he says the following. Scott and crew, over the last 6 months, I've been listening to FilmSack daily as I crisscross the Carolinas for work, right down there in your neck of the woods, Brian.
Yes.
The other day, I was listening to the Lost Boys episode. I believe when you were discussing the constant rule changes and inconsistency of experiences in movies, you referenced What We Do in the Shadows, which I had never heard of until then. The next week, it showed up as a recommended on my Amazon Prime account. I just finished watching it, and I have to say, you guys hit it spot on. Funny, irreverent, and downright delightful. Thanks for the recommendation. Keep on doing what you do, Jeff. Yeah, if you've not seen What We Do in the Shadows, you're missing out, because that is an awesome movie. That director is the director of this new Thor movie that everyone's super stoked and hyped about.
Ragnarok.
He also did that Wilder People movie that was supposed to be so good last year, which I still need to see. He's great. And this is how much I like it. In 2015, which is when What We Do in the Shadows came out, this documentary, fake documentary about vampires and werewolves.
Is it? Are we sure it's fake?
Well, yes, we're sure.
Is it a mockumentary?
And it is very much mockumentary. It's fantastic, though. Like, I'd put it up there with the best.
It's one of the funniest comedies in the last 10 years.
Easily for me. Like, I loved it so much that in 2015, everyone always knows what my favorite movie of 2015 was. And since, really. Mad Max Fury Road. But easily second place, best movie in 2015 was that for me. I loved it. So, yeah. Good recommendation there, Jeff. Randy, you were going to say something. You're gonna.
I just, for the people who haven't seen What We Do in the Shadows, I was just gonna set them up to maybe wonder if the vampires are vampires. I don't know. Just okay. Never mind. It's over.
If none of you know who Jermaine Clement is, I guess you're in good shape. But if you know who that is, you probably won't be fooled because he's in this. And he's also in the Chakiti Watiti or whatever his name is, the director. I don't know how to say his name right. He's in that movie. He plays one of the vampires and he's great in it. Just that sensibility and humor coming to Thor is super exciting. So,
yeah. Not to mention, was it Rise?
Rise Davies.
Band meeting?
Rise Davies.
Reese Davies. That's right. Right.
Yeah, he's fantastic. That guy's great. Reese Davies. Oh my gosh, band meeting? No, he's great in that. Don't I told you not to buy your pants? It's a full. Oh my gosh, he's so.
And he's
going
to be the subject of the sequel, I think. From what I hear, it's going to be focused on the werewolves.
Yeah. Which I'm all in on. And I don't even like werewolves, but highly anticipate that film. So what we've
like
learned
werewolves?
Here.
How do you not like werewolves? Is it like Dunaway's not liking horses?
No, because I don't. Of all the monster, you know, the big monster tropes, the vampire, Frankenstein type stuff, werewolves and zombies and fish people. Or not fish people, but swamp monsters. Of all the big guys like that. For me, the least interesting is werewolves. For I don't know why, just not that interesting to me in terms of, like, in natural horror movies. Now, as the subject of a comedy fake documentary, I'm all in, because who cares?
I'm going around the table of the these humanoid monster types. You are choosing that there will never be another TV show or movie that involves these ever again. We're past the peak, and it's your choice, never again. Brian Ibbett, what do you rule out forever?
Ooh.
Come on.
I got one.
Vampires.
Vampires, really? Ooh,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. I can see that. We've certainly used the crap out of them, but I'm going to go with Brian don't care about no bandage wrapped mummy.
I would say mummies are the least likely, like the least prolific around in TV. And
yeah,
movies.
But they just had, we just got a new mummy movie though. Like I feel like they're
mummies are basically zombies with bandages.
Right. Yeah, they're ancient Egyptian zombies.
Right.
Exactly. I'm okay with the curse part. Is the part where they walk around that bothers me.
With their arms straight out.
Yeah, yeah, their little bandaged bodies, because it's like you're nothing but dust underneath there. How can you beat me? You might as well be a Chucky doll.
There's a lot to explore. Imagine. The Frankenstein thing, monster thing, is there's a lot to explore there still. So I feel like that's got legs and will forever.
Ha ha. Or not legs.
Or not legs. They'll walk on their hands. But yeah. Werewolves, I mean, all those things are all played out pretty good. I don't know. Zombies, I'm not sick of yet, weirdly. I should be.
I mean, I have hope for werewolves because we've seen werewolves make good comebacks. Like, I mean, we've had weird stuff like Teen Wolf and what was the one that Jack Nicholson did? Wasn't that something? And then there was.
Yeah. What was that?
Wasn't Wolf kind of a werewolf movie? I never watched it with Liam Neeson.
No, that was not. That was him surviving in the woods against wolves.
No. That was it. That would have been better.
Yeah, no, that's a good movie. Actually, I watched that. It was good. I mean, it's basically taken in the. It's taken, but you're saving yourself from the wolves.
Right.
Yeah,
taken in the forest.
That's what he does now. That's all he does now. But no, I mean, like, name a good werewolf movie in the last.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's plenty of room for a good one.
Right.
So, I don't know what you're.
The underworld movies will probably be the closest one.
Yeah. The first one. The rest of those are bad.
Rise of the Lycans or whatever.
Yeah. First one of those movies is good. The rest are garbage poo. It's my new thing to say is garbage poo.
Garbage.
Yeah. Our next movie is going to be what? I forgot already.
Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah, we're getting Can't Buy Me Love next week. It's a 1987 rom-commy deal, sort of a, I don't mean communism. That was big in the 80s.
Yeah, it's nothing but communism, this movie. It's about teenagers who turn themselves over to the USSR.
Yeah, Romulan communists is what it is.
Romulists.
Yeah, Romulists.
Basically, it's about a teenager just trying to work his day job while also being infatuated with a young cheerleader type. And, of course, she's out of his league. Yeah. But she's a neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. So that's got to count for something,
this
right?
This is Patrick Dempsey, right? He's still considered hot man. Everyone loves that guy.
No, this was before he was hot.
This was way before he was hot. Yeah. I mean, he played the nerdy role. I think that was why everybody was like, oh, my God, McDreamy, because he was so not McDreamy when he was younger.
I never saw. Oh, you know, I just realized this is the weirdest thing to have pop into my head right when we're talking about Patrick Dempsey. 1999, the movie that we just watched, Deep Blue Sea, comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We started Film Sack in 2009. This movie was only 10 years old when we started Film Sack. Why is that so weird to me? You know how I am with time, Ibbet.
Now it's almost 20. It's almost able to drink.
That's good stuff. Nick was my wife was pregnant with Nick when this movie came out. Yeah, I don't want to think about
it. You know what makes me sad?
What?
That realizing that Amanda Peterson died of an accidental drug overdose and had all kinds of, this is a love interest in this movie.
Yeah.
And she was a beautiful girl.
She was. Yeah, absolutely.
Amanda. Yeah. Wait. Amanda Peterson.
Yeah. Amanda Peterson.
Why can't I picture? Yeah.
Looks like she had a little trouble later on in life. And then, passed away.
Did she do anything else? This was the only thing I remember her in.
Oh, she was
probably come up
some,
next week, but
right. She played Owen Explorers. I loved her in Explorers.
Oh, yeah, she's I didn't know. But why did I not know about the death part? I didn't know about that. That's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Hollywood treated her like shit, like they do every kid actor. It's probably what happened. Freaking hate Hollywood. F you. But here's having fun on your movies every week.
Keep making movies. Yeah,
keep doing it. All right. So anyway, that's next week. That's Can't Buy Me Love. It's the John Hughes-like film.
Right.
That we'll be watching right here on FilmSock. FilmSock.com is our website.
FilmSock?
FilmSock.com. I wear a FilmSock shark blue, deep blue sea shark head.
My sack is a sock.
My sack is a sock. Yeah, it is. My sock is a sack. Either way. Voicemails, or not voicemails, emails can come to us at FilmSock@gmail.com. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at FilmSock and talk to us there and that sort of stuff's great. And leave us reviews wherever you get your podcast. That'd be lovely. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. Well, he usually says a thing, but he didn't this time.
Oh, yeah. My penis like a shark's tail.
I'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Did someone order the fish?